I think today our talk is something that doesn't happen very often. And strangely enough, it's because it's meant for so few, and yet we are a few. It might interest you to know that there are 70 people here, not 6-9, not 7-1, 70. So I don't know why, but we have joined the Master's group of 70 when he had them go out by twos. And in a way, the message today has some overtones from the 70 of that day. Mine hour is not yet come. Throughout the Bible, the world is waiting for his hour to come. And although they persuade him that it has come, act now, say this, say that, do this, do that, he says, mine hour has not yet come. And we wonder about that hour. He is stating that there is an hour to come in which something will happen. I'd like you to consider that that hour is his last hour on the earth. And I'd like to discuss that hour, because what happened during that hour is something you're not aware of, something that is not spoken of, rarely discussed, hardly known. And from what happens in that hour, you will learn more than you anticipated. You may learn who you are and who you are not. I want you to know that during that hour, everything was controlled by the inner consciousness of Jesus Christ. There was nothing that happened in the outer world, in his crucifixion, that was not controlled by him. Every thought of his, an inner thought, appeared in the outer. Every attention to his body occurred first within him. There wasn't a thing that happened to him that was controlled by anyone in the world. And you will see why. When he had gone, and when he had issued the revelation of St. John, when he was no more visible, and when the people read the revelation of St. John, the secret of the life of Jesus was still unknown. I imagine it became known around 1800, somewhere in there. They found something in his revelation that said something they had never really understood, something they had passed by, something you must know and I must know, something that will distinguish us from the rest of the world. The statement began in the 10th verse of Revelation. I've got to read it to you. It is one of the most important phrases in the Bible. One of the most important phrases in the demonstration of the Christ on earth. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. This is the inner Jesus talking, the Christ speaking to John. Up to a certain point, not even John had heard this. But fortunately, John did hear what he heard, and it was recorded, and John knew what had been said, and John understood it. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein. That there should be time no longer. That there should be time no longer. That is the dividing line between mortals and immortals, between heaven and earth. As long as you are in time, please do not harbor any illusions that your life will be in heaven. As long as you are in time, you are earthbound. That's only a part of his revelation. You cannot even go into Christ consciousness until you have overcome the illusion of time. You may as well face it. There's no escaping. Whoever is in time is mortal. Whoever has attained the consciousness of no time is then privileged to receive the blessings of spirit. The dividing line between the world of matter and the world of heaven is the time which we must drop out of our consciousness. Maybe you've never been called upon to drop out of time. But it is clear as the nose on our faces that there is no heaven which contains time, that there is no time which is in heaven. Eternity is not in time. Eternity is in heaven. Minutes and the hours and the years and the days, everything we do today and tomorrow, no matter how holy we think we are, will be in time until we have learned how to rise out of time, until we have discovered that the only one on the earth who is out of time is not visible. Until we become that invisible Christ. time will remain to pull you back to the earth, into non-life, under the illusion that you are in life. Now this is in 10:6, Revelation. And it was uttered by the Christ . It was the guiding point of his life. And when he said, "My time has not come," he meant he was still in the illusion of form. That the illusion of time surrounded his being just like everyone else. He knew that he must rise out of the illusion of time. It may interest you to know that there was not a miracle he conducted, not one, which was done in time. It was his consciousness of being out of time which enabled miracles to be done. Now you see, he was out of time while on the earth. It was only when he was visible that we saw him. But he could transfer his... He could be translated in a second. In time or out of time was the difference. And when his body was invisible, he was out of time. He could say what he wished without fear of Pilate, Sanhedrin, anything upon the earth. For the moment he was out of time, in a second, there was no way to reach him. And even though he appeared in the visible, he was always in that state of consciousness which could not be reached by those in time. And I'm impressing this upon you because it is a fact of life that we have to deal with. As long as we are in time, we're heading for death. When we are out of time, death is behind us. So please, whenever you have an exercise that says, "Let's get out of time," don't shrug it off. Don't think of it as something you do tomorrow. Remember, it's your lifeline. The gifts of heaven can only come to you out of time. They can only come to the Christ of you out of time. And the mortal of you must therefore die to self, die to the mortality of self, and be alive to the Christ of self out of time. That's where the work is done. And although it seems like it'll take a long time before we reach it, and perhaps it will, but you may be sure that the way has been provided, that someday, ultimately, you will discover that you have always been out of time. The Christ of you has never been in time. And when you become one with your Christhood, you will be out of time. And the miracle of immortality will be part of your natural inheritance. So never think that we are just having an exercise when we are dropping out of time. It's a prelude of something that you must realize in actuality. Christ had been pierced, but only the visible Jesus had. Christ did not. every attack, everything that rendered the Christ seemingly at the mercy of men was an illusion. And this is something we are about to learn, that the form called Jesus at the end goes through the same death as any human being. You find that the form called Jesus is not the Christ. The form called Jesus is as much an illusion as the form called John, Mary, Joseph, whatever your name is. The illusion of form is the essential truth that follows even the Christ. The Christ was never in form, but appeared in form. Can you, in your moments of deep, lucid truth, realize that Christ cannot be in form? Try to dwell on that a second. That every time you saw Jesus in print, when people of that day saw him in person, they were looking at a form that was not there. They could not see the Christ. I think you can understand that. And it's so imperative that you understand it. Once that becomes part of your knowledge, and you get past the idea that there never was a Jesus in actuality, that Jesus was the forerunner, the forefront, the visible, teaching us that we are not in form either. That as Jesus was alive as the Christ, invisible, so are you. And I mean right now. The form is not you. And there'll be many who will not understand that, will grapple with it. And there'll be one or two or ten who'll say, how could I be the form if I'm the Christ? So grapple with it a little. Think of it. Dwell with it inside yourself. And find out if there's an acceptance in you of the fact that I am not the form. I'm not even in this form. No one on earth is in a form. Everyone on earth appears to be in a form. And then try to understand that is what Jesus was teaching us. That we are not in a form, and he was not in a form. That the Christ teaching, which utilizes form to reach individuals, works in spite of the illusion of form. And it permeates those who have been prepared to receive the truth that they are infinite invisible beings. I don't know if you think you're ugly or you're pretty or handsome, but you're neither. You are an invisible being, and the form, in addition to not being your reality, conceals the fact that your invisible being has no beginning, and no end. Infinity is the nature of your reality. And although a portion of us appears and tries to live, and tries to understand, and tries to be, it's only in that invisible second when we come to understand the Christ of our own being that we can suddenly say within, I don't know why or how, but I believe. I believe that I am the invisible Christ, that my being is infinite, and that I am learning this on the tip of my outer consciousness. Someday it will transplant itself gradually into my inner self, and to myself I will be revealed as that which is forever and ever. I'm not someone else that's going to become someone else. I am the Christ that I am. Someday I will learn that. Possibly now I can feel it and know it. And if I can feel it and know it, I can then learn to act upon it and say that because I am this invisible Christ, I am this and that and the other thing. And you can gradually build your self-confidence into the realization that inside the 1 hour of the last days on earth of Jesus Christ, that was taught to you. For in that last hour, he gave us more evidence of the fact that he was alive and invisible, even though to the world he was not. I'm not going to read it, but you can look at it. In the last hour, there was not a bone in his body that was broken. And remember, I told you that the will of the invisible Christ was being manifest on the earth. It was the will of the invisible Christ that nothing in his body be broken. And so it was. They could not break his bones. They could not circumvent the will divine, which prevented even the breaking of a bone, though that was an illusion. All the evidence has been given to us that the Christ was the magical power. Now I want you to go within. I want you to make an acceptance of the power within you, which will survive anything this world has to offer. Anything. Even the death of you. There is within you a self which you will come to know, which survives all death, and which brings forth all life. Perhaps you'll be given evidence of it. Perhaps you've been given evidence of it. One day you will have all the evidence you need. If it were possible for you to summon the determination to hold fast to that truth now, you would be surprised that the truth is never less than truth. And there is no power to remove from your being that which is infinite and that which is truth. The power to survive is ingrained in us all. The power to decide, to determine, to live, to experience, to be, that is an inherent quality of our being. When I say our, I use the word collectively because your being and my being, his being and her being, is the one being. And we, which is a collective word for I, the I of you and the I of me and the I of everyone who is in the world, has the power to bring the truth of God into human experience beneath the level of the surface of man. Each of us is a miracle worker. Each of us is without the danger of ever being released to anything that is negative, untrue, perverse, the health of our countenance will always reflect the Christ within. And I speak of our invisible countenance. We're going to walk out of here sometime this weekend, and we're going to know that something has happened. I had a touch or more of the reality of my being. I can never be the same. In the last day of the Christ, this was taught to me. In his last hour, he taught to me that he'll never have a last hour except on the earth. And he took that last hour on the earth to convey to all who could listen with the inner ear that this last hour was the beginning of another level of consciousness in which they could walk freely. An experience within the immortality with which they were bequeathed, the omnipotence, which is the quality of omnipresence, the perfection of being, which we never see on the earth, but which is all there is in the invisible. And also the ability to find in the visible proof of what they had undergone in the invisible, so that the outer man becomes the equivalent, the same as the inner man, and is then ready to live the divine life in the fifth world. We didn't have to go into this discussion today, and but I think it will be valuable to know that we are not orphans. We are not walking the earth in vain. Each outer experience must be understood to be an inner experience. And as we dwell within, the outer has a new significance, and it yields to us the understanding . As you learn this about yourself, you know all there is to learn about any self, because you're learning about the one self. And then, when you walk in this earth on the surface, and you see another individual who staggers, another who stumbles, another who needs help, understand, this is Christ in the making. This is Christ, invisible, stumbling on the earth. And if you are there, you will understand that you are being asked for help. Every vision of man that you see on this earth is Christ, invisible. And when you know it, you will find that you are surrounded by divinity. That you are protected by divinity. The omnipresence and omnipotence are the qualities of your being. Your whole approach to living changes. Because you're going to learn from the smile of that individual, the frown of this individual. Each will bring to you what you need. Everything becomes an inner experience for you. You're not alone. You are surrounded by the Christ of your own being everywhere you go. And the outer signs will test that. Some will say, do you see me? Do you know who I am? And you can look around you and say, I see myself everywhere. You're going to find that this world is a beautiful place, but you're going to have to look at it with inner understanding to realize that this is heaven. When a fellow steps on your feet in the elevator, or someone comes by with some bad news, or the child is sick, smile within. You are being tested. You are being tested in a way you hadn't expected. Nothing visible is true. Nothing. The good nor the bad. And you can only be trusted with that information because even though you have not attained, you can understand at this point that what is happening to you is your preparation for eternity. Everything is a test. And when you pass your test, you will say only the Father is present. Only the light of God is here. And I am that light. It isn't a lonely world at all. It's lonely because we think we are alone. We think there is only me and him and her. When we learn to look beyond from where we stand We feel the presence everywhere. And we find evidence of the presence everywhere. And then joy takes the place of doubt. Even sorrow has no meaning. All part of the illusion is what takes place in this visible world. In the illusion, Christ is at the mercy of the men who are crucifying him. But Christ is not in the human consciousness. His consciousness has made the transition to the kingdom of heaven, though his form appears in the visible world. And through consciousness, he is able to regulate what will happen to him. Not a man had any decision about it. Entirely, the experience of Christ consciousness appeared as that which happened to the physical Christ in this world. You will learn that this is how we operate in the invisible kingdom of God. We are totally in command of being. Each has been indoctrinated in truth, and only truth, and lives only by spirit, and that spirit manifests as the control of all that is in the universe. When you see a war, who dies in that war? To the human being, that sounds atrocious. Who dies in the war? If Christ cannot die when crucified, who dies in the war? Is there another being than Christ? Is there someone who can die when a form allegedly dies? Is that the reality of that being? Do you see that death never touches the self of an individual? We have never known the illusion of our life. We in our forms are not living our life. Christ had to come in the illusion of form as Jesus to show to a degree what we go through in the illusion as well as in the reality. So when Christ took our sins and took our pain and took our burdens, he was taking our illusions from us. And here and there, a depth of being in one responded and in another. They had found eternal life while in the midst of the world chaos. As we will. When all the pain is taken out, when the reality is inserted, when what is there is felt, seen, understood, there has never been a death on this earth. Not one. Death was never invented by the Father. Death is a supreme illusion. All those who have died are living in their Christ self. I suppose we should have some proof of that. Maybe we could find it if we wanted to look. Maybe we could say that each new generation is the old generation returning in new forms to begin again the search for their reality. Maybe we could listen to the Christ who has told us that death can never occur to any being in Christhood. Maybe we should listen to history, which shows us that many were selected in advance of others to enter their Christhood. Maybe as we look into our own soul, we receive an assurance that we had never heard before. Which assures us that we are approaching a level of understanding in which we will once more find that perfect kingdom which we inherited from the Father, which we lived in, and which we are returning to as part of our education. Are circling in all of the globes of this world into the human, into the animal, into the insect. We have been in all these. We have learned what is and what is not. And we are returning. Behind us is what we have learned. In front of us is who we are. The evidence of all of this must be discovered in your own experience. Someone can say, I know it, I feel it, I have seen it. That doesn't cover you. You've got to know it and see it. And you've got to get to that point of illumination where everything is understood to you. No one can be illuminated for you, but you can reach that degree. We all will be illuminated to the point of knowing, beside the Christ of God, there is no other. I am He. Go back to this last hour sometime, perhaps more than once. Try to stand there and realize that this so-called man being crucified is being guided by a force that makes the individuals around him meaningless. That force which keeps this man to breathe, to live, to experience what he will experience. That force is in us all. That force of the Christ is the same force that operates you in the invisible spirit. And then realize that because of that force, which brings the Christ, though appearing dead as a human being, which brings him through everything in the world alive, in total control of himself, that force controls the you, that is. That force is the Christ Spirit, which has no boundaries, which does not stop at the wall, which does not stop in the year 2000 or begin in the year 1000. That force which goes beyond the world of knowledge to the very limitless perimeter of eternity.